Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details. Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Good morning, Wayne. I should remind everyone that last Friday, sitting right here at this desk, you, Wayne, picked the Oklahoma City Thunder to win the West. Aha. So it is time to skip the BS. It's time for Undisputed. It's time to talk NBA playoff craziness with Keyshawn Johnson and Rick Bucher, FS1's NBA Insider. Good morning to you and good morning. Here we go. And we start in my hometown of Oklahoma City, where it's possible the Thunder made a statement last night. It was just game one, but what a game one by the NBA's youngest team against Luka and Kyrie and Mark Cuban's Mavericks. Youngins 117, Mavericks 95. So, Rick, you had the Mavs winning game one and the series.
Yes, I did.
And we're just getting started, but you had that mostly because of playoff experience.
Yes.
Even after the Thunder finished with the best record in the better conference,
yes,
are they still being underrated?
Not by me anymore.
Okay.
Not anymore.
You add anymore. Okay.
Because I look, we've had some paper lions over the last couple of years. Utah Jazz, best record in the league. Didn't go anywhere. Boston Celtics, Milwaukee Bucks, any number of teams that had great regular season records and then didn't live up to it in the postseason. But these Oklahoma City Thunder and what they showed me last night going up against a more experienced Dallas Mavericks team, I discounted what they did against the New Orleans Pelicans because I just thought the matchups were just so lopsided, a little bit like the Boston Celtics against the Miami Heat. But they're not scared.
Nope.
These young boys
are not scared.
Nope. And they're not. This is a team that hadn't been in the playoffs for 4 years. So you can do all of that. We're running up and down and we can get things done during the regular season. But they showed me a fearlessness in this game one that is convincing me that the series might be a little bit more different than I expected. I'm going to stay with Dallas for now.
All right.
But
bad move.
I need a little bit more than just a game one on your home floor against a clearly hobbled Luka Doncic. I mean, that may be the difference maker in this series. But overall, like, they're for real. And I think they're going to be for real for a while. So if Dallas does win the series, it's going to certainly be a tough out.
You know, you asked the question, Skip, underrated. I don't think they're underrated. People just didn't really, you don't really see them like that, right? I mean, even in the regular season, what do they get? A handful of nationally televised games. This is, you know, when you look at the series prior to this, it's like, okay, we know what they were going to do against the New Orleans Pelicans. So we didn't really.
So under-publicized, under-recognized, under-watched, under something.
All of the above.
All right. But underappreciated.
Underappreciated because of that. But now they're one of two games literally every time they play now. Then eventually they'll be one-on-one games. And then so you'll get a chance.
I'll buy that. Last night might have been sort of a coming out party for them where the world sort of said,
I actually sat and watched from beginning to end because I was interested in to see exactly what are we going to see here? And then obviously we got what we got. I picked them to win the series to begin with. I felt like, you know, when people talk about experience, once again, I want to remind you the same thing I remind Paul Pierce about, I remind you about, Rick. It's not like the Dallas Mavericks are winning championships.
Yes, agreed. Agreed.
They may have made it to the playoffs.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But they're not winning. If this was Golden State they were up against, then the experience thing, it's validated. It's like, okay, same thing with Minnesota and Denver. Yep. As I said, Denver won the championship last year, but they didn't win two of the last three or four of the last three. You know, it's not one of those situations. So, you know, when you talk about the team hasn't been to the postseason in the last 5 years or whatever that number is, the organization hasn't been. Because this is a different team. There's new players. They're young. Now, all of a sudden, you get this fire. And they feel good about where they're at, whether they're at home or on the road. Yeah. Obviously, home helps them with the crowd behind them, and they get a real experience at what the playoffs is all about. The problem for Dallas, in my opinion, is game two's at home, too, now. And you still have a hobbled Luka, if we want to use that as the reason he's shooting at a low clip right now, if we want to use that excuse. But now you run the risk of going home at 0-2. And when you go home at 0-2, you got to even a score, because if they still want on your home court, you down 3-1 going back into that same environment that got you down 2-0.
Yep.
So I like what I'm seeing out the Thunder, Skip. I expect for them to win it all in terms of against the Milwaukee Bucks, and then we'll see what happens if they get past them and go on. I mean, against the Dallas Mavericks, they get past them and move on to the Minnesota Timberwolves.
All right. You and I picked the Thunder for very different reasons.
Yes.
Because you're not going to buy into Luka until he shows you at a higher and higher level he can do this.
How could I buy into a guy shooting 33% from the floor, another 11% from three, and 71% from the free throw line? Three-point attempts he was supposed to be getting better at.
He did during the regular season.
He was supposed to be getting better at it.
Well, he
did. But now we're looking at something different. Free throws as well, Skip. He was getting better at it, but we look at something different.
A reason, maybe the reason, I picked the Oklahoma City Thunder was Luka. I told you, first of all, he ain't right. We're going back five games now against the Clippers. He sprained his knee. And how many NFL quarterbacks have we seen be out 4 to 6 weeks with a sprained knee? I think he has a legit injury. I don't know that, because nobody probably knows that except that one human being.
He probably does have a legit injury. I would never even remotely even come close to thinking that somebody is milking an injury. But what I would say to you, Skip, before you even go, is yes, he's injured, but he dropped on the Clippers. What did he drop? 30-something or whatever it was?
Yeah.
So you ain't that damn injured?
The problem is, over the last four games since he did suffer the injury, from three, he's 5 of 35.
Yeah.
That's 14%. That won't work. You're going to lose some games. You can't score enough.
Before the
otherwise.
Injury, he wasn't knocking down threes.
Well, he did during the regular season. He was career high. But, okay, I got you. So we start with that. But then we go to this Thunder team. So the flip side of you is, I watched just about every game they played this year because I fell in love with them. And I am from there, but I didn't fall in love with the 2012 team, the Baby Thunder, as I used to call them. Mm. And they had three future MVPs on their roster. Three.
Well, you didn't like two of them personally.
Okay, I didn't. And that is the truth. And I was the biggest KD fan, but Russ started shooting more shots per game than Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
And they started to quietly clash over it. And you know the rest of that story. It was just hard for me to wrap my arms around them. And by the way, just quick point of order, if you remember game one of the 2012 finals against LeBron and Dwayne and Bosh, remember, at Oklahoma City, it was a tour de force, and they won that game. The Baby Thunder won it 105-94. And then guess what happened? The Heatles happened, and the Heatles won four straight games, and that was all for the Baby Thunder. And that was really the apogee of them. You know, that was their zenith,
point,
right?
Sure.
That was their high point. That was it. From there on, they began to teeter and go downhill, and then Harden winds up in Houston. You know the rest of the story.
Mm-hmm.
But the point was, I caution the Oklahoma City fans, you did do that back in 2012, and then guess what happened? So you're not up against LeBron James and Dwayne Wade.
Here's the two things that's different there, Skip, for me. You just mentioned they're not up against those guys, but also this team in OKC, it seems like togetherness.
There's a different vibe.
It's just a different pregame. I'm watching them in pregame. They out there acting like, you know, some rookies.
They're having fun.
Yeah, they're having fun.
And I think it's legit fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so I told you, the best thing about them is the postgame interview. They won't go solo. If it's SGA and the network requests, they all get around. They're all arm in arm, and they're having fun. And it's not faked. It's not forced. Nope. It's real.
Yeah.
And they do bark like dogs, and it's just silly, stupid stuff. But they're doing it, and it works because they believe they got that dog in them.
Yeah.
So, Keyshawn, I bring this up, seems like every day on the show, one of the greatest coaches ever, one that you had the privilege and honor of playing for. Bill Parcells always said, you are what your record says you are. Mm. The Thunder were the best team in the West for a reason, and I'm starting to say, are they just who they were all year? Mm. Is it possible that 57 and 25 is exactly who they are? It was the best in a loaded West in which Steph Curry and Draymond and Klay were the 10 seed, right? Mm-hmm. That they finished first, maybe by hook or crook because Denver blew a game at San Antonio, but they did. And I watched them all year and I kept thinking, are they legit? And then I would turn off the TV late at night and I'd say, I think they're legit. Mm. They're well coached and they have beautiful chemistry because, Shea is, he's obviously the star. He was an MVP candidate. I was making the case he should have won the MVP because of the rise of that team and what was on his shoulders with that team. But the point is, here's the irony. They led the league in three-point shooting, and they did it again to the Thunder last night.
Yep.
And guess who probably their worst three-point shooter is? It's their star. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is 35% from three. He ranks 13th on their team. Mm-hmm. So of guys who've shot enough to qualify, he's the worst. Mm-hmm. The other guys—
35% still good.
Okay, but it's okay, but it's not— what the rest of them are, because as a team, they shot 39% from three because all the rest of them can shoot the eyes out. And all of a sudden, you saw last night, what did they do?
45%.
Well, they go 46%, 45 if I round up, and they make 16 of 35. So Dallas also shoots 35, but makes only 12. Well, that's four times three. That's a 12-point differential from the three-point line, and that's kind of what happened in the game.
Yeah.
All right? So they do that, and then they steal the ball at the highest level in the league. They led the league in steals. They ranked fourth in team defense. So they're doing it two ways. They're shooting. They're like Boston, except they don't take nearly as many threes as Boston because they rank 16th in attempts.
Yeah.
Boston ranked first in attempts, so obviously first in makes. But Boston lives and dies by the three even more than the Thunder live and die by it. But the Thunder will shoot you out of the gym if you let them get on a roll, which is what happened last night. And if we can go to the flashpoint quickly of the game, Kyrie makes one. And I thought, because it was, what time is it? It's in the third quarter. Kyrie made a shot at 7:25 on a sort of semi-break. Luka kicked it to Kyrie, and he just pulls right up and steps into it, and that cut it to one.
Yep.
And at that point, I thought, uh-oh, now we're going to see what they're made of.
Yeah.
And guess what they did? Dagnall calls timeout, and he takes out Josh Giddey, and he puts in Isaiah Joe, who you can argue is their best three-point shooter, who immediately makes a three that turns the tide back to Oklahoma City. And then if we can see what they did over the next 4 minutes.
They went on a 12-2 run or something.
Here they go on this run, and they're about to make. There's Isaiah Joe. That was a big shot and a good shot. And then, whoops, guess who? Lou Dort, who can play defense and offense. He can shoot threes. And then here they go again, and there's the breakaway dunk by Jaylen. And now here we go again. Guess who? Chet drains a three, and he's only 7 feet, 1 inches tall. And then SGA, boom. And
is there anybody who didn't hit a three?
Boom. And that's it. That's that run, and it took 3.5 minutes, Keyshawn, to your point. And all of a sudden, I look up, and Oklahoma City's back up by 12.
When it got down to one, I got up and went to the kitchen and came back, and they was up by 12.
Yeah.
I was like, what happened?
Okay, that happened because the Thunder can strike like lightning. That's what they do. That's who they are, especially, obviously, at home, because they can shoot the three. And with Luka hobbled, and Kyrie, I thought maybe Kyrie would just say, give me the ball and get out of the way, but it didn't really happen from that point forward. And maybe that's what's going to have to start happening for the Mavericks to regain control of this, is that Kyrie's going to have to take back over.
I thought Chet played aggressive.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, he's a slim reaper, he played aggressive, and he wasn't tentative. I mean, he was out there trying to battle, whether it was underneath the boards, whether it was putbacks, whether it was coming through the lane, dunking the ball. Dude just, I don't know, them dudes are so long, man. It's just hard to figure out who could slow them down.
But he's not playing his age either. Like, he was, as the season progressed, the regular season, I thought he faded a little bit. He looked a little bit fatigued, which is understandable, playing his first full season and played nearly every game, I believe. And so that was my question, was from the inside, outside of Chet, they don't really have any size. They don't have any rim protection. I think Josh Giddey is their next biggest player. Arkansas, Jalen Williams.
Yep.
And so I thought that was going to be a factor. I thought P.J. Washington getting into early foul trouble was an issue for the Dallas Mavericks because he's only their only stretch five or stretch big now that Maxi Kleber is injured. Mm-hmm. So that's why I still give Dallas a chance of shifting this series a little bit because I want to see if P.J. Washington can stay on the floor. That changes the dynamic a lot. But to your point about these Thunder and about them being very different from the 2012-ish
or whatever.
That squad, everybody has a role. They have confidence, but they don't have ego. That's not getting in the way. You had Russ, KD, and James Harden all sort of battling for where do we fit in this constellation, right?
But when in the history of this league, if you had three future MVPs on the same roster?
Understood.
Are you kidding?
Understood.
I mean, I just don't think it's ever. Maybe I missed one, but I can't imagine because one of them's coming off the bench at that point. James.
Yeah. I mean, the first thing I thought of was the Boston Celtics when they brought those guys together, but Ray Allen really wouldn't fit into that.
Like MVP of the league?
Yes.
You just don't.
But they were also young.
They were.
And they weren't there yet.
Yeah.
And these guys are young. But they all clearly look at SGA as the leader, and everybody falls into line behind that. And so there's none of that struggle in terms of who's getting shots, who's getting minutes, and that's really powerful for this team. And I think, Keyshawn, I thought you made a great point about who are they going up against. Like, they're not having to knock off an established champion or a formidable postseason team. And you normally don't have teams that haven't been to the playoffs in this long, that are this young, that have home court advantage. So you get to start these series at home with what you know in Oklahoma City is a very rabid crowd.
It is.
And people across the country, once they get to know this team, are going to fall in love with it. That's already happened in Oklahoma City. Mm. And it's a very easy team to fall in love with.
It's college rah-rah going.
It is exactly right.
It feels like a college town team.
Yep.
Yeah. See, when I think about teams that go up against championship caliber teams and knock them off of perennial champions, I think about teams like Michael Jordan's first championship against the Lakers.
Well, and or having to go through Detroit.
But then having some scars to go through all of those Eastern Conference teams that were beating him up so long, so often. Or you think about Golden State, when they won their first championship, they still had to go through...
To go through San Antonio.
They had to go through teams in organizations that wasn't winning or in the mix on a consistent basis. Yep. That won't be the case with Minnesota and OKC right now.
Yeah.
I think they'll build... They're on the way to building...
Yeah,
that foundation like those other teams that have gone on to win three or four or whatever those numbers are.
You know what the distinction is when you have to go through those veteran proven teams, they are not going to beat themselves.
No.
You have to beat them. And if I look at the Denver Nuggets in the first game, right? In the first two games, I could make a case that the Denver Nuggets beat themselves as much as Minnesota beat them.
Okay.
And that is not what we're used to seeing from championship caliber teams.
Exactly.
And the Dallas Mavericks in last night, OKC was great. I don't want to take anything away from it, but Dallas didn't play up to what we expect them to play. Maybe it's because Doncic is hurt.
When you get punched, Rick, sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it doesn't. and when you get punched, sometimes you just say, I don't want to swing back. I just want to get out of here.
Yeah.
And clearly they got punched early by OKC. And even though they cut the deficit down to one, and OKC said, you know what, I'm going to come with a left hook.
Yes.
Bam. And then they just shut it down.
Yeah.
True.
To the point where they emptied the bench with 6-7 minutes to go in the game. They started, It was like, we surrender. We surrender.
All right. What shocked me the most was these Thunder averaged only, they ranked 16th in rebounding. So to your point, Chet's still real light in the back pocket.
Yeah.
And he may always be. He and Wimby, I don't know how much weight they can put on, how much muscle they can put on. They're just so long and tall.
I really don't think he's going to get much.
You're probably right.
I don't think you want to with as up and down as the game is. You run into injury issues.
Stat of the night. Oklahoma City wins the boards last night 52-39. They win points in the paint 40-32. And I'm saying, how could they have done that? Well, they all rose up. And because, listen, Dallas just they bullied the Clippers because Gafford and PJ just attacked the glass. Yep. And Gafford played big last night. He blocked Chet one time. Chet came right back and hit a three on him. That's what Chet does. Yep. He's not afraid. He doesn't cower. He'll come right back and say, well, I can do this. I can shoot this three like it's a free throw.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
I was shocked that he got that shot blocked.
Yeah.
Dude, well, he's like 9 feet tall. How did you get it?
Okay, but he's going the wrong way into the strength of Gafford, and he just ate it. But it didn't bother him.
He totally ate it.
Yeah, okay.
That's a big thing, though, is you get your shot blocked, and then you come right back. It doesn't faze you at all for a young player. That's very impressive.
So I wondered if the Mavericks went back to their hotel last night and had a Nuggets moment, as in Nuggets versus T-Wolves, where the Nuggets had to wake up after one game and say, wait a second, we're up against it here. Mm. I wondered if the Mavericks went home, went back to the hotel, and Luka and Kyrie would sit back and say, God, these guys are for real.
No, they already saw them, Skip, this year. They beat them three out of four. OKC beat them three out of four tries.
One time in Dallas beat them 146-111, just ran them off the floor.
No, I understand it, but that might have been a game where I don't even know what part of the season that game was. But when you have lost to a team three times out of four, you know they can play.
But then you might think it's playoffs. It's too the moment will be too big for them, but it wasn't.
But see, again, there you go with the moment too big. That's what people
Well, they just haven't done this
assume.
At all. They haven't
you
done
know?
It at all.
No,
I
mean,
this is all brand new territory. Yeah. It's understandable that they might half step a little bit, never
but
having seen
But you can
this
tell,
before.
Like Skip said, you can tell through if you're watching them at all a little bit, certain teams, you can tell if the team is for real or not because, like Skip said, as my coach would say, you are what your records say you are. Mm-hmm. You don't win 57 games because you roll out of the bed.
No.
You've done something right along the way, even though you may have lost to the Lakers in a series
or you
may have lost to certain teams. You've done something right to win 57 games.
But I will go back to what I said at the beginning. Like, of late, we have seen teams that have had the best record in the regular season.
Oh,
Utah
definitely.
Jazz being number one.
Yeah.
Example,
but that would, but were the Utah
and they couldn't live up to it.
With Donovan Mitchell and company, were they really for real though?
No, they had. Look, they had flaws that in certain matchups you could exploit, and that was the problem. Is that as soon as you hit that flaw, that undermined the confidence of the team.
Well, they had what is now the four-time Defensive Player of the Year,
Rudy Gobert.
So they had both those things going on, right?
Yeah,
and it didn't get them very far.
No.
All right, so just for the record, game two in Oklahoma City, the odds makers are just saying, nope, it's the Thunder because they're 4.5-point favorites. So they're fairly significant favorites. So the people who should know are saying legit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right.
Can't argue with that at this point.
Shocker.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this, crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right. Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. and while scoring deals up to five times faster. It's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
We are joined now by a former Showtime Laker with three championship rings and a former NBA Coach of the Year, Byron Scott. Pleasure to have you back in our studio with us. Way to go.
Always good to be here.
Good.
Always good to see
you. We appreciate you. Okay. Just when we thought the Knicks had one of the shortest benches in playoff history, now backup center Mitchell Robinson is out 6 to 8 weeks, probably for the rest of the playoffs. So now will Coach Thibodeau go for the immaculate game? That would be all five starters playing all 48 minutes. That has never, ever happened in the history of the NBA playoffs. In game one, the Pacers bench, as we know, outscored the Knicks bench 46-3, yet the Knicks won by four with their starters averaging 45 minutes and Josh Hart playing all 48. So, Coach, been waiting all day to hear your thoughts on this. Can the Knicks keep winning while playing their starters such high minutes?
I think so, Skip, to be honest with you. Because of the playoffs, the fact that you get time off, you know, you get a day of rest, you know, so you can play 48 minutes in a game. The next day, you don't have to really do anything, but maybe do some film work and look at some side adjustments that you might have to make. But playing 48 minutes when you are a very well-conditioned athlete is not that hard, to be honest with you. So I think...
Do you remember if you did it much?
Oh, I did it. Okay. I did do it. I remember distinctly doing it one time because Michael Cooper got suspended, and we were going to Seattle to play against the Supersonics with Dell, you know, Dell Ellis and that crew of guys, and I had to play 48 minutes. And after the game, to be honest with you, I felt great. It was the next day that I was like, woo, you know, I'm exhausted. So that day of having a day of rest was big for me at that particular time. And I think it's the same thing for the New York Knicks and Josh Hart as well. I think he can play 48 minutes for the next four or five games, whatever it takes.
Can you feel the difference when you play a team that plays a certain style versus another team? Yeah. Like, does tempo of the opponent affect how you feel along with those minutes?
I think it does, Rick. And like you said, if you're playing against New York back in the day, you're going to feel it because of the physicality of the game. You know, the way they play. The Indiana Pacers, the way they play this game is a much more of a fast-paced game, up and down type of game. So, again, this is New York's kind of style as well. You know, they can score with the best of them. So I think for them, this is the perfect series for these guys to play that type of minutes.
Could you see Thibodeau, because he's stubborn maybe to a fault, could you ever see him saying, I like the way my starting five is playing, I'm just going to leave them out there the whole way? Could you see that as even remote possibility?
I could see that as a remote possibility, but I don't think the game will dictate him ever having the chance to do that, because you always have somebody that's going to get in foul trouble.
That's the point.
Or something. So you're going to have to use that short bench that he has to a certain extent for, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes just to get somebody rest, just to make sure that they don't get that third or fourth foul in the first half.
Yeah.
So I could see, you know, Tibbs thinking about doing something like that, but the game I don't think will dictate to him that he can't do something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
I would say the pushback for me is you're asking so much of Jalen Brunson.
Oh, absolutely.
Right, to close games, and you're doing it against a deeper Indiana team and longer, more athletic defenders. And I just wonder whether, and I felt like we saw some of that in game one, where that fatigue in the moment at the game, whether it's mentally or physically,
right.
having to work so hard to get to your spots and get your shots, that has a cumulative effect on his ability to get those, because you're really not looking to anybody else to get that. And that's the opening here for the Pacers, is that we're going to wear you down mentally so that by the end
as well
of games
physically.
And all of that begins to take its effect. That's where I could, that's where Tibbs' stubbornness, I think, works against him.
Yeah, and I think the longer the series goes, it benefits Indiana because of the fact that, like you said, Jalen is asked to do so much on the offensive end. Not only score 35 to 40 points a game, but also get other guys involved in the game. And the weight of that, of him having to do that on a day-to-day basis is going to, it's going to accumulate to the point where it's going to start affecting on the offensive end. Indiana has to make him work on the defensive end. I think what they have to do is, look, you can't rest on this end of the floor and then use all that energy on the offensive end to get that 35 to 40 points that they need on a day-to-day basis. Yeah. Indiana has to put pressure on Jalen to defend every single night.
Okay, so I'm looking at game one, and Mitchell Robinson played 12 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Hartenstein does tend to get in foul trouble, and now you've lost his backup. And if Hartenstein gets in foul trouble, they've had to resort to this before. They did against Philadelphia. Ananobi just played the five. He takes Miles Turner and says, I got him, and I'll bang with him and do the best I can.
Mm-hmm.
That's why a lot of this, to me, is mindset, where today we're all conditioned to think you got to have a deep bench, even though it gets shortened in the playoffs, but you still need four or five other players just because no human can go that hard that long on both ends, okay? Mm-hmm. But the mindset more back in your day as a player, back to my childhood, was you can play 48 minutes.
Yeah.
And now it's what the younger players believe. If they believe they're just fine playing 48, that's in your head.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I used the analogy yesterday about my childhood baseball pitchers, Bob Gibson, in my childhood. He just pitched nine innings because that's just what you did. And he,
he
would refuse. You're not going to take him out.
Yeah.
It didn't matter how many relief pitchers you had. He's Bob freaking Gibson, and he wants, give me the damn ball and get out of my way.
Right.
And I'm going to pitch nine innings, and it's going to be over in 2 hours, and we're going to win 1-0 or lose 1-0, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's just a mindset. And then people start saying, look at the medical. Look what it does to your arm.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there were years and years that went by where baseball pitchers didn't blow up their arms, and there's no such thing as Tommy John surgery,
even though
some were hurt, we didn't know what it was, or pitch count, right?
Yeah.
Okay, it's the same with your attitude, and I love to watch the Knicks because they don't look gassed to me in the fourth quarter. I know what you mean about Jalen Brunson. He got frustrated. I think it's more mental wear and tear because you're asking him. What I don't like about the Knicks is he just dribbles the air out of the ball. It's just dribble, 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 and he's going to create, and then he makes one.
Yeah.
And
it's kind of like James Harden back in the day with Houston.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
And James is 6'5". I think James is 6'5", isn't he? And I don't know.
Guard.
He's a big guard, and he didn't play big, but he's 6'5", with long arms. And Jalen Brunson's built like a little fullback, and I don't know if he's much over 6 feet tall.
Hmm.
And are you amazed at how he can score 40 a game? I am.
I'm amazed at watching how he's getting his 40.
Yeah.
You know, but I want to go back to something that you said, Skip. You said it's a mindset, and you are 100% correct, because every year that I went in the league and I worked out to get ready for the league or get ready for the season, I got ready to play 48 minutes. You know, you work out getting ready to play 48 minutes every single night. Now, that's not going to happen where you're going to average 48 minutes every single night unless you're Will Chamberlain way back in the day where he played every single minute plus overtime. So he averaged over 48 minutes per game, back in the day, right? But you train to play 48 minutes for 82 games, not counting the playoffs, right? So the mindset has to be that. You know, it's just like a boxer. Back in the day, they had 15-round, heavyweight fights. You trained to go 15 rounds. You didn't train to go 7 rounds or 8 rounds. You trained to go 15 rounds. Mm. It's no different from us as basketball players. You have to train like you're going to play 48 minutes for 82 games plus playoffs. And if you have that mindset, you don't get fatigued when the game is going on because this is what you trained for.
But you know this about the league now. Teams don't practice anymore.
That's true.
And they don't scrimmage. And there's a lot of... training, but it's one-on-one training. It's not game training.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't help but feel like that's the separation, is that guys aren't used to getting up and down the floor or having to physically react to all of the variables within the game. Mm-hmm. It's not the same as I'm going through a shooting drill or I'm doing a ball handling drill or whatever it is, right? And that's where physically, I don't know that guys are prepared. I think that's why we still have as many injuries as we do, because guys aren't in game shape. Yeah.
No,
right?
I agree.
And so I think New York's a little different in that you know Tibbs is still practicing.
I'm about to say, New York is different because Tibbs is old school.
Yes.
So you are going to practice.
Yeah.
And you're gonna practice like it's a game situation.
Yeah.
You're going to practice like you're going to play 48 minutes. You know, so Tibbs has this team primed to play that style of basketball for however long they go.
Yes.
You know, if that means them getting to these conference finals or whatever the case may be, these guys are mentally and physically prepared to play 48 minutes every single night.
Yeah. So the last title team to have at least three players average 40-plus minutes were your 1980 Lakers. Mm-hmm. Magic's rookie year with Kareem and Norm Nixon and Jamal Wilkes. They all four went over 40. So at that point, those four are playing really high minutes, but that's the closest we've ever come to a championship team with that high of minutes. And it's been a long time, obviously.
Yeah, 40-something years, right? Yeah. And you probably won't see that again. You know what I mean? And if you talk to all those guys back in those days, Magic's rookie year is 19 years old.
Yeah.
48 minutes is nothing. You know, 40 minutes a game, that's nothing to him. Norm, that's nothing to him. Silk, Cap, that was nothing. That was the norm for them because of the fact that, like I said, they trained to play that style of basketball. So we haven't seen that because, like you said, Rick, teams don't practice like that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you got this thing they call load management that is ridiculous to me. You know, I still don't get it. You know, if you want to rest in practice.
Yeah.
You know, play every game, every single game that you can.
I still blame Coach Pop for that. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I love all the rest of it, but I don't love that part of it. But he was the master of that.
He was, but he did it because he was trying to milk more out of Tim, Manu, and Tony. I mean, there was logic and reason behind it.
Yeah.
He wasn't doing that with Kawhi and the young guns at that point. But you said something.
They've taken that to a different level.
Yes. Now everybody's doing it. You said. So you don't believe that playing the starters as many minutes as Tibbs is affecting their team. But you also said the longer the series goes on, the more that tilts in the favor of Indiana.
Yeah.
So reconcile that for me, because to me that says the heavy minutes that the starters are playing, the short rotation that he has, ultimately could have an effect on the Knicks' ability to win this series simply because it is going to wear them down.
Yeah, and I think because of Indiana Pacers being a deeper team, and they can bring so many different bodies at you, that again, to me, the biggest factor of all that is still making Jaylen play on the defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
If you allow him to just play the way he's playing on the offensive end, then I think he can last this whole series with no problem.
Okay.
But if you put pressure on him to defend every single night, you know, and have to do that, you know, for 40-something minutes and carry the load on the offensive end, game five, game six, game seven, I think can be something that kind of wears him down.
So Tyrese Halliburton the other night in the second half took one shot and missed
six points. That ain't going to get it done.
No.
Yeah, 6 points. and Tyrese is a hell of a player.
Is he?
Yeah.
You know, so this is a point in time in a stage in his career where he can make a different name for himself. You know, in the playoffs, as we always know, playoffs, you can make a real big name for yourself one way or another.
Yep.
You know, and this is a chance for him going against right now the best point guard in the NBA in the playoffs, which is Jalen Brunson, the way he's putting up numbers. You got to go at him head to head.
Yep.
You got to make him defend. You cannot allow him to rest on the defensive end and then say, hey, I'm going to spend all my energy down here on the offensive end, getting my points and getting my guys involved.
Yeah.
You got to make him work on that defensive end.
Okay, so who you got the rest of the way in this series?
I'm still going with New York.
Okay.
I'm still going with New York. I just think you got two great coaches, you know, two veteran coaches. But I think New York has a tougher exterior when I'm talking about, you know, from a mental and a physical standpoint.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I like the way they're playing right now. And you know, I'm watching Tibbs sometimes, and we always talk about how coaches have to do this. And I'm watching Tibbs where he's telling everybody, get the hell out of the way and let Jaylen do his thing, right? That's great coaching. Let Jaylen do his thing. Y'all move out the way. Keep the court spread out and let him do his thing. Because he look, four things are going to happen when he has the ball. He's either going to score, he's going to get fouled, or he's going to get somebody a wide-open shot. Mm. The other thing is the only negative, and that might be that he misses.
Yeah.
I guess you could put in there that he turns it over. You know, but you got so many good things that happen when the ball's in his hands. So why not spread the floor when the game is on the line and let him do his thing? Now, Indiana, you got to get the ball out of his hands sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes you got to come and double-team that man and get it out of his hands and make somebody else beat you. Mm.
What is the secret sauce for a guy of Jalen Brunson's size who Hartenstein might give him a pick, right? Mm. But Hartenstein's not a threat. So you're not getting that draw.
Pick and pop.
I mean, Jalen really has to create his own shot and his own space every single time. And if it's LeBron or Jordan or some guy who has a physique, can create a physical mismatch, you understand how that happens, right? Yeah. Now you just hunt for the right the matchup. Mm. Jalen never has that, and yet he still gets it done. What is the secret sauce in his ability to do that? Because that, to me, is the most amazing element to his game.
Rick, he's just a basketball player. I really look at that and just see the way he plays the game. And I agree with Skip. He's kind of a running back, you know, with a basketball uniform on. He could take the bumps and the grinds and all the things that are happening to him right now. But like you said, setting that pick and roll, a lot of teams, you know, you said it, he rolls. And then you leave him out there on an island by himself to make a play.
Yeah.
I think his mentality of knowing that he feels in his mind that he can beat anybody one-on-one. Hmm. He doesn't think anybody can stay in front of him one-on-one. Hmm. And that's a hell of a mentality to have, you know, when you can score the ball the way he can.
When you're 6 feet tall,
Yeah. I mean, and a lot of those guys are 6 feet. They have that Napoleon syndrome anyway. They have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, Jalen, Chris Paul, guys like that. And that's got them to this particular point in their career anyway, and now seem to elevate them to another level.
Any tiny Archibald going on?
A little bit. I think he's a few people, man. You know, when you look at him, you know, he's got tiny Nate Archibald. He's got, you know, where he can get anywhere he wants, but he has the smarts of a Chris Paul, that leadership ability as well. He's got a few people inside him. His dad, who we all know, you know, I know Rick for years, you know, back in the day, I think has taught him extremely well, you know, growing up to make it extremely hard on him when he was growing up to make him the player he is today.
Yeah. Interesting.
Hey, folks, it's your man, Keyshawn Johnson, here to talk about Angie, formerly known as Angie's List, your go-to home services marketplace for getting all your jobs done well. Now, you might be wondering, what exactly is Angie? Well, let me tell you, it's the nation's largest home services marketplace, connecting over 150 million homeowners with skilled professionals to tackle any project, big or small. As a homeowner myself, I always have things I want to work on for my house, whether it's general home renovations or fun projects like putting in a pool. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it a breeze to research, compare, and hire pros, ensuring every job is done well. Whether you're fixing a leaky faucet or planning a full kitchen renovation, Angie's got your back. And get this, folks. Angie's pros aren't just any old contractors. They're your neighbors, often running small businesses right in your community. Plus, they've been rated and reviewed by others in your area. So you know you're getting quality service. So why stress over home projects when you can turn to Angie? From finding the best price to scheduling a pro at your convenience, Angie's got you covered every step of the way. So get started today at Angie.com. That's Angie.com or download the app today to get started on getting all your jobs done. That's Angie, your trusted ally in home services.
The Lakers are obviously in the market for a new head coach. Byron Scott, you know this organization. You know Jeannie Buss. Your recommendation for the next Laker coach would be...
Well, Skip, let me do this first.
All right.
You know, first of all, you ain't getting Ty Lue. Ty Lue ain't coming. You know, Ballmer ain't letting that happen. He ain't going to let you go from the Clippers to the Lakers. He ain't letting that happen. You can forget that.
Okay? How much do you want?
That ain't happening.
I think that's happening right as we speak.
Yeah.
How much do you want?
Yeah. My recommendation, the next Laker coach, and out of the 8 or 9 names that I've heard, his name wasn't on there, is make LeBron the coach.
Ooh. I have half kiddingly suggested let him be the player coach. Make him the coach.
Then why you say that, B? Look, listen, I got nothing but love and respect for LeBron. I love him. I think he's one of the greatest players that ever played this game. But it's obvious to me, at least, that he's making a lot of decisions that's going on in this organization.
No doubt.
From a coaching standpoint to a player standpoint. So if you're going to allow him to make those decisions, all right, sit on the bench and make those decisions as well. Be the head coach. J.J. Redick.
Player
head coach.
Yeah. Well, it's happened before.
Go back to the Bill Russell days.
Absolutely. Okay? Lenny Wilkins.
Yeah. Yep. So some of the names that I've heard, you know, you obviously have to get somebody that LeBron is comfortable with from a head coaching standpoint. You know, the last name I heard was J.J. Redick. Well, I started laughing. Well, now they got a podcast together, so y'all
they
comfortable,
do.
Y'all buddy-buddy, so now his name is on the list. So as far as I'm concerned,
by the way,
that
podcast is an X's and O's podcast, so they're talking real hardcore basketball. Go ahead.
Okay. But as far as I'm concerned, the only person that he's going to really trust is himself. And since you're making a lot of these decisions anyway, why not put him in that seat?
I don't think he'd want the pressure of sitting in the co-seat, the dual seat. But
You're probably right.
Yeah.
Because you got to have somebody.
Well, you don't have anybody to blame except yourself,
I was about to say, you got to have a scapegoat in that seat, you know, as they've had the last 4 years. You know, you got Frank Vogel, who wins a championship with them. The next year, boom, he's gone. You know, Dalvin Ham, who goes to the Western Conference Finals last year, this year, boom, he's gone. Mm. So what are you looking for? What do you need as a head coach to get this team to the next level? You got two of the best players in the NBA. Mm. Even at 39 years old, LeBron is still one of the best players in the NBA. Mm. Anthony Davis this year played out of his mind, in my opinion. Played more games than he's played since he's been a Laker. Was as healthy as can be.
Yeah.
Played great against Denver, against one of the best players, if not the best player in the league, in the Joker. You know, held his own. So
he did.
At the end of the day, to me, I'm looking at it, just make LeBron the coach.
All right. So I half kidded about this, but would you have any interest if they had interest in you?
No.
No?
No. I've been there, done that. You know, and again, it's one of those jobs right now where all the pressure and all the blame is always on the coach. You know, you got superstars and you got coaches. You know, coaches are getting blamed. Superstars aren't. You know, you don't have these guys taking accountability for what they've done in the playoffs or what they've done over the regular season. Mm-hmm. It all goes back to the coaches. Now, maybe some of that is legit when you talk about X's and O's and things of that nature. But for the most part, as far as I'm concerned, you know, I think for the first time in a long time, this organization, which I love to death, y'all all know I bleed purple and gold, is in flex. They have to figure out what they're looking for and stick to it. I mean, you know, obviously in coaching anymore, you know, coaching in this league anymore, you don't have teams that are showing the same type of loyalty that they used to back in the day. You know, to me, there's only really a couple of organizations that really give their coaches the chance to develop and grow with their players. Mm. And one of those is San Antonio with Pop, obviously, who's been there for years. And then you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, who's my favorite.
Oh, no, I understand.
That's my team. You know, the Steelers is my organization. They've had three coaches in their lifetime. You know, so I look at this as partly, like you said, I'm partly joking because I don't know who that coach would be right now, who's the right fit for the Lakers. So I'm, you know, give it to LeBron.
You know, I disagree with you, though, about not wanting a job.
Who, me?
Yeah, I disagree with you because...
How are you going to disagree with me not wanting the job?
You know why?
I don't want the job.
You know why? It's a job that you should take if it was in your radar. And the reason is you've had success with star players. Okay, you've had success with star players. Your personality, if you want to call it questioning the authority of LeBron James, you ain't got a problem doing that.
No.
And it feels like to me... Where he's had the success at, so to speak, was when they questioned his authority. When you go look at Miami and, you know, Spoelstra wasn't, you know, better yet, Pat Riley wasn't having it. He wasn't doing the Shaq coming down to the floor and coaching.
Right.
So he said, no, you play basketball.
And Eric, too.
And I was going to say,
too.
And Eric did the same thing. He's like, no, man, you play basketball.
Right.
So he has success doing that. Then he goes to Cleveland, and he respects Ty Lue. to the degree that Ty Lue, who's not available, ex player, won championship, knows X's and O's, knows how to do things, but he didn't mind challenging LeBron at the same time. That's why LeBron likes him. It ain't just because he won a championship with him.
Right.
He likes him because he respects him, because he's not afraid of him. He challenged him. He made sure. Then LeBron leaves, and then obviously Ty Lue is fired. The Frank Vogel situation, I'll never. Maybe they didn't value the bubble as much as we did to get another
banner up
there. Maybe the organization really didn't value that, so they moved on from Frank Vogel.
They did.
Darvin Ham was in a lose-lose situation. It just was. It wasn't somebody that they wanted to begin with, and he kind of just fell in their lap. They signed off on it. LeBron agreed to it to some degree. He takes them to the Western Conference Final. And as I said, as I told everybody, I said, if they lose in round one, he's going to go bye-bye no matter how they lose. It could have been game seven. If they lost, bye-bye. Now when you talk about head coaches that they should go after, I think guys like Fizdale, okay, who LeBron respects and likes and has had teams that had bad rosters in New York but had a decent roster in his first year in Memphis, and they wind up winning 40-some-odd games. Then him and Gasol, that thing fell apart. And he wind up moving on. Or I look at a guy, which they probably never, ever do, is like a Brian Shaw, who's been an assistant coach under Ty Lue and other coaches. Yep. And he had a shot in Denver. Did you see his roster in Denver? When he was, think about
it. You mean that crap he had in Denver? Mm-hmm.
You can't win like that.
Crap he had in Denver.
You can't win like that. And LeBron respects B. Shaw, but it would be up to LeBron to go to them and say, I want this type of coach. I want this. Now, as far as J.J. Redick goes, can he be successful under LeBron? Maybe. What's his assistant coaches look like? Could they be there teaching him along the way? You point to Steve Kerr and you say, Steve Kerr never did it. Look at him. Well, look at his team, number one. On top
right,
of that,
right. Lord,
on top
right.
of that.
Right. Mark Jackson had already done
right.
to teach
right.
that.
He already got him to that
level. And on top of that, though, Skip, Steve Kerr was in the organization of the Phoenix Suns. He wasn't coaching.
No, he was.
But he was the general manager, right, which essentially right. is coaching right. because he's picking players. He's strategizing with the coach on what things to do. So he didn't start off like J.J. Redick could potentially start off. Then there's the name Mark Jackson. I don't know all the details about what went on in Golden State, but you can't tell me this dude can't coach. You can't tell me he doesn't deserve another opportunity with a franchise to coach.
He is just his own man.
Yeah.
And he does things his own way.
And that's okay
if
you win.
You live with that.
He's been blackballed. Just put it out there. He's been blackballed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let's put it out there.
Which
Mark Jackson has been blackballed to be a head coach again in the NBA for a number of years. And you're right. It doesn't make sense, but it's the truth. It doesn't make sense, but it's the truth. He's been blackballed.
Okay, because
of Mark Jackson being Mark Jackson.
Okay, and religious affiliation and all those things.
Well, yeah, I think it's all that in that package.
Yeah, I understand.
Of being Mark Jackson.
I understand.
And you're right. He can flat out coach.
Yeah, if you're looking to win a championship, you got to some things in life you got to put behind you. If you're looking to win a championship, some things you just got to ignore. If you're the Lakers and Jeannie busting them. But then I also think from an organizational standpoint, people that may want the job are afraid to even deal with it because the way it's set up. Mm. When you got to deal with so many different layers of people. Now, I ain't in the organization. I just know based on outside, when you dealing with the Linda Rambises and the Kurt Rambises, and now all of a sudden you're dealing with Rob Pelinka, who's really in charge? Is it really Gina? Is she deferring to them still? All of those sort of things. Coaches may not even want to deal with that.
Yeah.
The ones that you can actually get.
All right. But this man would be a great fit for this team at this moment because he knows how to navigate the building. He can navigate this building. Okay.
I appreciate
all right?
y'all.
But it's true. But I would not wish this franchise upon you at this moment because
I appreciate
that
y'all,
is correct.
I'm good.
Because
I'm
I would good. Not wish LeBron on you at this point because he's too far along. Would he respect you because you got three? You could put your three rings on the table and say, I got three of these. And I want them at the highest level, the highest ways. And Darvin didn't have any rings that he could put on the table. He was a decent NBA player, but he wasn't this man. So I think there would be a meeting of the minds. But you would not back down from LeBron, and you would help him. You would save him from himself minutes-wise, the way Darvin tried and failed to do. Because LeBron's just going to do what he wants.
What are you going to respect him? That's what I said. He's going to respect him coming through the door.
Just through the door.
Yeah, because he are. Yeah. Look, he already knows that guys like this, they just not gonna have it. Mm-mm. You know, even though he may be right at times.
Yeah.
But they're going to have a conversation about it.
Okay.
He ain't going to do what he did to Darvin Ham.
That is correct.
To Byron Scott. If Byron Scott was, no, he wouldn't do that.
Game four, LeBron threw a fit
no,
on the floor.
No, he just wouldn't do it.
Close to a tantrum
the
on the floor.
The respect level
right?
is too great.
Yeah,
and it was so embarrassing for poor Darvin. Just had to sit there and take it. And then it screwed up his mind because in the next game, Austin Reeves wants to, you know, let's challenge. He's like, okay, let's challenge. And he got completely out of whack, right? And then AD wants to challenge. Okay, I give in. I'll challenge, right? No, you got to be in charge. You got to be in command. And LeBron would not have shown you up like that. So that would be the start. But again, I wouldn't wish any of this on you because somebody's going to have to pay in the end. As I always say, the quote-unquote GOAT needs a scapegoat in the end if it doesn't work out. And that's the head coach. Yep.
And not me. Yeah. I'm good.
Okay.
I'm trying to think.
But I'm still trying to think who is the fit for the Lakers from a head coaching standpoint.
Look,
who do you guys
the most
really think?
Decorated coach out there is Budenholzer because he did win a championship and he was Pop's right hand for many, many years.
True.
Did very well in Atlanta. Okay, he's got some credentials. Would LeBron respect? I don't know. Probably not. Would he be able to communicate and deal with LeBron? Probably not. That's just me.
Four coaches in seven seasons with the Lakers. Luke Walton. Then after Luke, it was Frank Vogel, Darvin Ham, and then whoever they get now. Mm. I don't see any of them. The three of those four, I don't see any of them dudes where LeBron really was expecting them like that.
It's not exactly the Steelers, right?
No, it is not.
No. Well, okay. Hey. Love you, appreciate you, and
Skip, always a
thank
pleasure,
you for coming
friend.
In, and enjoy your golf game today.
Thank you.
All right.